Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
So we know the pandemic is having disproportionate impact on workers by gender, and later in the hour, we'll take your call on the experiences of working women. That number is 800-423-8255. We want right now, though, to take a look at what the research tells us about how the pandemic has affected families more broadly. Boston College research professor Brad Harrington joins us now. He's the executive director of the Boston College Center for Work and Family. Professor Harrington, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you, Tiziana. It's nice to speak with you again.
So I know you heard that conversation I just had with Kathleen McNerney. Yes. What does the research show in terms of the burden of childcare on families during this pandemic?
Well, for businesses, what's never been more clear is how important childcare and school are to allowing organizations to operate effectively. Now that a lot of people are out of school, and I'm surprised that there's overcapacity in daycare centers, because that's not been what we've been hearing from our employers. But if that's the case, the number of people at home is really putting an undue burden on women, which might not come as a big surprise. In September of 2020, about four times more women than men dropped out of the workforce. And if you look at the numbers, there's over a million women not in the workforce right now. And that's probably mostly explainable to the fact that, you know, they're taking on the responsibilities at home for COVID. And I would think part of it is caregiving in the traditional sense we think of it, but the other part of it is homeschooling, which is that's a new and additional burden which women are taking on. And the stats we're seeing there is that women are overwhelmingly doing more than men in terms of tutoring and homeschooling.
So you just sort of laid out the equity issues within families where there are two parents or two adults and where the burden of responsibility mm-hmm. is. I think you've looked at some research on the role of men in families. I think we're assuming either two male households or a two parent household. How has that changed over time? And are we moving further forward or rolling back during COVID?
Yeah, well, we've been studying the experience of working dads for about 10 years, Tiziana. And, you know, in general, our experience has been that the trend has been in the right direction, where fathers are in two career couples. Their tendency to take on more and more responsibility on the home front has increased, albeit somewhat slowly, but it has increased over the last 10 years. And where the most recent study we did was actually on parental leave. But in that research, we were able to ask men, you know, how are they doing in terms of, you know, achieving parity with their spouse or partner on the caregiving front? And about 75% of the fathers and mothers said that the expectation is that men and women should do equal amounts on the caregiving front, which is very positive. So you got three quarters of the dads saying it should be equal. But when we asked how is it being split as of now, and this was before COVID, that dropped down to about 43%. So about a third of the fathers have good intentions to share caregiving equally, but they don't always fill up, live up to their expectations when it comes to reality on the ground. And I think that's even been exacerbated more by COVID. So the trend that we were seeing moving in a very positive direction toward greater gender equality in the home up until the pandemic hit 9 months ago, we're now seeing reversed. And there is a lot of fear that the repercussions of that on women's careers and women's advancement and even women staying in the workforce are really being felt.
So I want to acknowledge for our listeners, Brad, we're hearing your mic move around a little bit. So listeners, if you hear that, I think that's just a mic issue. Brad, I want to ask about how employers are thinking about single parents during this pandemic. Obviously, as you talked about children schooling from home, you're hearing from employers a lack of access to childcare. What about in a single parent household?
You know, sympathy might be the right word for single parents at this point. I mean, you can look at dual career couples and say, okay, It's a burden on everyone, but if they're able to work flexibly and work from home and that kind of thing, obviously they're in a much better situation than people who are essential workers. So then you have dual career couples where one or both of them are in essential jobs and they don't really have the luxury to be able to stay at home. They have to get into the work. And so they have to find ways through their extended networks or through taking turns to be able to fulfill their on-site job responsibilities. But for single parents, it's just hard for me to fathom, and I haven't got a lot of research to back this up other than anecdotal, but it's really hard for me to fathom how single parents are doing it right now, especially those who are expected to be into the workplace. The only thing I can imagine is some of the more generous, more progressive companies are able to give them more flexible schedules, so they might be able to work themselves around their children's schedules. They maybe give them additional paid time off if they're very fortunate. And I'm sure a lot of single parents are depending on an extended network they have established, either with extended family or with friends and neighbors, because as bad as the situation is for dual career couples, it's way worse for people who don't have a partner that they can count on at this time.
Brad, at this point, we've been talking really about the worker. What do we know about the cost to employers of the burdens that these workers are carrying, of women dropping out of the workforce, of the challenges of schooling at home, the challenges of single parenting?
Yeah, on a macro level, I really don't know what the costs are. I'm sure there are people, you know, economists that are estimating it, and I can tell you they are going to be huge. What we hear more from our individual employers is that they've been, especially the ones where they have so-called knowledge workers, where people don't have to show up at the office every day, but they can do most of their work remotely. And the organizations that we work with are a lot of people in knowledge industries and professional services, accounting, high tech, pharmaceuticals, and so forth. For those, you know, the picture is much brighter than you might expect. A lot of the organizations not only haven't seen a drop off in productivity, but obviously they've seen sort of an uptick from employees in terms of their sense of satisfaction being able to have the benefit of working from home. So that's been positive. And we're seeing some really major employers say, you know, well, we're not going to come back until June or July this summer. And, you know, some of the people may never come back. It may be, and I don't mean by that they're going to be laid off, but rather they're going to be able to work differently. And so they're going to be able to work remotely on perhaps a full-time basis. And you're even seeing small experiments where young people who had expensive apartments in Boston and New York and other places are sort of giving up their apartments and moving back home or moving to a lower cost of living area to see whether or not they could continue to get their job done working remotely. So I think the cost overall, I really don't have a good handle on, but I think, especially in the knowledge worker space, I think it's been less of a hit than people expect.
We're talking to Professor Brad Harrington of Boston College's Center for Work and Family. You wrote a piece in LinkedIn recently calling on fathers and men to step up in this crisis. What do you want to see them do?
More. you know, the truth of the matter, you asked about, you know, women's situation. I mean, you've got more than, you know, 62% of college graduates and people graduating with master's degrees are women. So if you look at the situation these days, the labor market, women make up three-fifths of the labor market right now. And they're even, you know, they're the ones that are coming out more highly educated, better grades, better GPAs, and their starting salaries are better than men in many instances. And so we really are in a situation, you know, despite the biological differences, where men and women are oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes contributing the same or very similar amounts to the family income. And they're also, you know, both in very fulfilling and demanding careers. So I think one of the things that's happened is, you know, one thing that's been observed fairly frequently is that, you know, for men to say, you know, I'm on a Zoom call and suddenly my kids run through the room or something, that's seen as not acceptable. And so men may be regressing back to a pattern where they're expecting their wife to make the accommodations and make the compromises in order to keep them looking as a full-time, committed, dedicated worker with no distractions. You know, men generally, and fathers we've studied specifically, have a tendency to be more susceptible to cultural cues that they get from their manager or their coworkers about what does an ideal worker look like. And so men may be more susceptible to that. And as a result of that, I think they may be sort of saying, well, I need to look like a perfect worker, but my wife can make compromises and trade-offs. And so they're not stepping up to the degree that they need to be right now. And that's a problem not only, you know, on a micro level for men and their spouse, it's also a problem for organizations as this pipeline of women starts to get truncated because they're having to cut back.
And just briefly before I let you go, sure. Is there research that plays this out for same-sex couples?
Very little. The research, certainly not during COVID, I haven't seen anything yet, Tiziana. The research on how same-sex couples balance work-family issues is interesting. And there's one positive note there for sure. And that is because they are of the same gender, there's no sort of built-in expectation that I'm the man, you're the woman, therefore you will do this and I will do that. With same-sex couples, those roles have to be navigated and they have to be designed. And so what happens then is there are conversations that occur between people in same-sex couples, and there are very few assumptions about who's going to do what. And those conversations usually yield a better end result in terms of balancing work and family. So both partners in a situation where they said, we've discussed this and we've decided mutually what was the right solution for us.
All right, Brad Harrington is a Boston College research professor and the executive director of the Boston College Center for Work and Family. Thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Good to talk to you again, Tiziana.